You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm with you here on CBD. And folks, there's nothing like Friday nights and football in your community. Log on to clevelandbrowns.com/community to vote for this week's Cleveland Browns High School Game of the Week presented by PNC Bank. Each week, the winning team from the game voted on by the fans will receive a $2,000 grant for their football program. Game coverage and highlights featured on clevelandbrowns.com and on-field recognition for the winning coach and game MVP during a Browns home game. This week's matchups include Brush versus Strongsville, Olmsted Falls versus Lakewood, Notre Dame Cathedral Latin versus University School, Brunswick versus Brecksville Broadview Heights. So go to clevelandbrowns.com/community and cast
your vote. Win $2,000 for your high school. That's sick.
Yeah, it's a great
thing,
right?
A lot of money.
What's wrong with that? Nothing. That's what's wrong. Absolutely nothing.
Do it.
All right. We're going to go to the phone lines now. 216-578-0850. We got Rod in New Brunswick. Rod, call your shot, brother. How you doing?
Hey, not too bad. Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to your show now for the past couple of years, and I really enjoy it. And I'm really excited about the Cleveland Browns this weekend.
Awesome. Thank you.
First thing, I'd like to actually make a couple comments, and the first one would actually be on last night's football game. When I watched the game last night, it was a very, very good game, and I was excited to see Deion Lewis play last night. I thought that he really, really showed what he could do. The problem that I had with that was I just see everybody in the national media saying, where do the Patriots come up with a player like that out of nowhere? And as all Browns fans know, 2 years ago, he probably would have been the guy in the backfield for the Cleveland Browns and probably would have helped us, especially where Jordan Cameron and Josh Gordon came out in their breakout years, and I could just see how Deion Lewis would have actually really shined for the Browns if that was the case. The second thing I'd like to say
let me just jump in there real
quick.
Sure. So for people who don't remember, Deion Lewis was with the Browns, broke his leg in that preseason. Joe Banner loved him, brought him in here, and I think he actually would have had real success.
I do too.
In that North Turner
system,
offense.
That Darren Sproles role that we talked about.
Yeah, last year he would have been completely lost.
Correct.
In this offense.
And the regime change.
Yes, he ended up going to Indianapolis, where he didn't latch on with Indy. He could not be a better fit in New England than he is. He's a guy who needs to play in a spread type of an offense, and he's taken over that Shane Vereen role.
Yeah.
He looked very good last night. It was good to see, because I was a big Deion Lewis fan while he
was
here.
I.
He was all Berea that year, and then I remember he broke his leg. I believe it was on a kickoff.
Yep.
In one of the preseason games.
Yes. And it's really hard for me. I live in Atlantic Canada here, and this is basically Patriots country up here. So being a Browns fan, it's just kind of a craw. You know, it's really been hard dealing with stuff like that, hearing about Patriots and all that stuff.
Sure.
The second thing is, I really liked what Terrell Pryor probably potentially could have brought to the team this year, but I just feel that it was more potential and not what he could do for us right now. And as a Browns fan, that's the biggest thing. And I find that it kind of gets lost because everybody in Ohio wants to see him do really well. And I think that that's why everybody was stuck with him more so than they probably should have, because I just found him to be more of a developmental type of player.
Right.
But I'm just so excited about the Browns this year, and I've been a Browns fan since the Cardiac Kid days back in 86, 84, 85 in that area. I was a big Tom Cousineau fan at the time.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I'm a Cleveland Browns fan.
Call
today,
your shot for tomorrow.
Pardon me?
Call your shot for tomorrow. Sunday.
Yeah, on Sunday, I really think that it's going to be a tight game. I see the Browns winning by 3 points. I say 20-17.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Again, this was a Robert Turbin decision, and Robert Turbin is not going to be ready to play football for a little while. That's why they still need to make another roster move and probably will have to for a while. It is, you know, Terrell Pryor, as Mike Patton has said, was a luxury pick, I believe, reading the tweets that came out from his press conference, so we'll hear that shortly. And that's how they looked at it. This was once Robert Turbin became available, they were very excited. They wanted Robert Turbin, and that's the way that the cookie crumbled. They felt that they had one guy who was going to be on the 53 and not playing, and they have another guy who's going to be on the 53 and not playing, as I said earlier, even though it seems that my talking about his injury was glossed over.
and again, just to kind of quote the caller, you know, what he could have brought, you have to weigh what he could have not. You know, I think he was 50-50. He was 50-50 to be up. Even active each and every game throughout the football season as he continues to develop, And this is a football team that has a lot to prove in year two for Coach Pettine, a lot on the line, a 7-9 football team. As we continue to mention, you know, Whitner on the backside of his career, Dansby on the backside of his career, Thomas, you know, probably smack dab in his prime but can't play forever. You know, how many other guys, you know, Hayden smack dab in his prime right now. We don't have time to develop. We need to win right now. And I think that in some cases is what this move is about.
Yes, that is what it's about. Let's go, Tony in Eastlake. Tony, welcome to the game.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Oh, I'm reading the PD, sitting here having a cup of coffee at my desk going, really? Prior to me, a few comments and I need to ask you a question.
Sure.
Prior mistake. I think the kid's going to be good. I really do, down the road. Turbin, not a bad player, but okay, like you said. Oh, we have to make room for Turbin. Let's get rid of Pryor. Ridiculous. He's not going to play 2 to 4 weeks, probably five. So Pryor, they get rid of him. I'm like, are you kidding me? Let's do something now. Now everybody always likes to call and say, credentials to call. 20-year season ticket holder myself, was at the drive. I qualify right there, I know. But dig this. Hillary Clinton, correct? Hillary Clinton, spy stuff. This is a big deal to the media, the mass media.
Sure.
She's going to run for president. Can we sign Ray Rice? Did anybody sign him? He's a bona fide veteran. I know he did wrong, gave his wife a smack. No good, of course. Can we sign him? He's a bona fide runner. Can we just sign him? Pettine, I don't know. We'll go over it. We're going to think about it. Let me talk to Farmer. And, oh, for God's sake, do something, Cleveland.
All right, Tony.
Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thanks for the call.
Do you want to call your shot? Oh, okay.
I would say,
for heaven's sake, no. I'm just going to say bye-bye.
Listen, you know, there are a lot of reasons. That Ray Rice, I know people are looking at the Browns, but I'm happy with Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson. I've liked both of those guys. I'm very excited to see Duke Johnson. And last night on the Coach Pettine Show, I asked Mike Pettine who he was the most excited to see in this game. Which rookie? I thought he was going to say Danny Shelton. He said Duke Johnson.
Of course.
So he's excited about him. I think Isaiah Crowell's worth a look. Let's not forget, 31 other teams have not signed Ray Rice. And I believe that tells you all you need to know that it's a football thing, because you know who just got signed today? Alden Smith. If you can play in this league, people in the league don't care what you have done.
Right.
That's a fact.
And his future is still uncertain, because is he going to be suspended? As of right now, he essentially can play. But the NFL is going to be reviewing his situation right now, because he's been actively signed to an NFL roster, and they're going to evaluate it, and they could impose a suspension. And Los Angeles Raiders, the Oakland Raiders, the potential Los Angeles Raiders, used one of their 53 spots to create a scenario to have Khalil Mack, their first-round pick last year, and Alden Smith become pass rushers in their new 3-4 scheme with Jack Del Rio at head coach.
Yes, and my point is that guy's done a ton of stuff. And
suspensions.
The reason he's there is because they believe that he can contribute. That's it. So, period. If people in the NFL thought Ray Rice could contribute to their teams, Ray Rice would be on a team. I think the Browns now, in light of the Andy Moeller situation, there's no chance Ray Rice is being signed here. So we don't even need to go down
that
road.
Let's not say his name.
Got a question real quick from Peyton Man 1818. He says, can't they stick Turbin on the IR designated to return? No. The reason that they cannot do that is because they've already used that on Charles Gaines. He's the only person they were allowed to do that. You're only allowed to do that once a season, and they decided to do that with Charles Gaines. So, no, they will not be allowed to do that in this season with anybody else, including Robert Turbin, even though he is going to miss some time. Let's go to Jack in Westlake now. Jack, welcome to the show. Call your shot and then get into your commentary.
And I hate to beat the Pryor thing to death, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on Tom Reed's column this morning and his contention that possibly they cut him now because they were waiting for Farmer to be on suspension, and that Pettine cut him now. I thought that was kind of a ridiculous thought. I was just wondering what you guys thought.
It is. I don't want to use the word ridiculous, but that's not the case. You got to remember, when he left, Ray Farmer went to go on a suspension. Bill Kuharik was put in charge. Bill Kuharik is the one who actually makes that decision. So whether Mike Pettine wanted it, demanded it or not, that it doesn't matter. Still, at the end of the day, Bill Kuharik has to sign off on it. He's the executive chief of staff to Ray Farmer. they had all these scenarios laid out with that personnel group, Dan Sagony as well. They have this all laid out, mapped out, exactly what they want to have happen, what scenarios would be out there. They sat down, they talked about it, and as a group, this is the decision that they came to. This is not people trying to make the you know, Patton Farmer battle. That could not be farther from the truth, and I know that from talking to somebody who was in the room about that decision just today, actually just before we came on the air. So had nothing to do with it. When Robert Turbin became available, they wanted Robert Turbin. Now, you can debate as fans whether or not getting Robert Turbin was so important that you would give up on a guy that has the size and the speed and might be able to become a receiver in the NFL. I'm pretty sure that if Terrell Pryor was the quarterback of the Arizona Wildcats and this whole scenario played out exactly as it had and was not an Ohio State Buckeye, I don't think anybody's saying anything about this move whatsoever.
I agree, and I think it is legitimate that when healthy, Robert Turbin will be up as an active 45 player on game day, and in some cases be built into a backup role behind Isaiah Crowell and a solid veteran who's actually played active snaps and started football games in the National Football League as a running back at the running back position. And the one key word that you referenced in talking about Terrell Pryor is might contribute. That might for this football team, we need contributors. We don't need maybe develops or might contribute. And we need guys that are going to be a part of our active 45 or compete to be active 45. And what Terrell Pryor would have to do in practice on limited full reps or prove by dominating on the scout team is that he's a viable option in this league enough so that you put another receiver down and put him up on a Sunday.
I think what bothers people about this is that when you made the decision to keep Terrell Pryor on your 53-man roster, you were saying, hey, here's our developmental guy. You know, listen, every team
developmental
guy's
going to practice squad.
He's not eligible, but every team sets out at the beginning of the year to win the Super Bowl. It is more realistic for some than others. So I think people are saying this seems to be a short-term decision when you felt like you could address your biggest position of need, you know, at wide receiver. But again, to me, if Terrell Pryor wasn't an Ohio State quarterback and nobody's caring about
this. There's a guy, and I don't know this to be fact, but there's a guy or a scenario just like this in 12 to 15 other organizations with guys that made the 53 as of Saturday at 4 p.m., and there was a turnover on one or two guys on 12 to 15 rosters in the National Football League. And to make your point, simply because it's Terrell Pryor, he played at Ohio State, and this position switch and the drama that has kind of come along with him throughout training camp is the reason why this is a story. If this were a lineman or a linebacker, it's a non-story that we waited to the Friday or the Thursday practice to get rid of him at this point in training camp.
The interesting thing about it is, I was doing the show same time a year ago. The Browns made a similar move at one point when they cut Charles Johnson. And that didn't receive any of the fanfare. Now, I personally, given my evaluation of Charles Johnson, and I was, you know, touting him as I thought he was had an opportunity to be a very good receiver for this team, was big. Nobody said a word about it. He was so far ahead of Terrell Pryor, and I think his ceiling was so far ahead of Terrell Pryor's ceiling as a wide receiver, it was laughable. That was, ultimately, you saw him go on to Minnesota and be very, very good once he started in week 12, once he became the starter alongside Teddy Bridgewater, and now he's projected to be their number one receiver.
Right.
That's one, if you want to call up and say, how did this happen? That's one where you can say it. Right now with Terrell Pryor, there, to me, it's not nearly as big of a deal and not nearly as big of one to question. Don't forget, go back and watch the tape against Chicago. He was not a guy that he was open on one of his routes. There's one route that he's open, a deep dig. But those are against guys that weren't playing league. We went up to Buffalo. We saw him for the one day in practice in Buffalo. What did those DBs do to Terrell Pryor?
Crushed him.
He couldn't get off the line. He was having a hard time
falling
even staying
down,
inbounds.
Yeah, couldn't stay on his feet. Getting jammed at the line of scrimmage, outside releasing, and got pushed beyond the thick white stripe that is the sideline.
That's not to say that he couldn't ultimately one day become a guy, and I think they thought that he had that potential. That's why he was on the 53.
And with a team that wants to win now, do we have time for that?
But see, that's the question, right? In the minds of fans, this is a team that everybody wants to win now. But is this truly a team that needs to make a bunch of win-now decisions, or is this a team that should be doing everything it can to get as many developmental assets and as many assets so that in a year or 2 years, you actually are in a place with the roster composition to win a Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, based around the words that have come out of Jimmy Haslam's mouth, it's a win-now mentality.
And I think, listen, when you sign Randy Starks, when you sign Tremont Williams, when you sign Dwayne Bowe,
and give them the
Josh
money that you
McCown,
gave them,
you're saying, I'm playing older guys, I want to win now.
And win now means, you know, it's more like not just win now, because winning games, everybody wants to win games, but contend now. Contend in our division right now. Build a team to beat the Steelers, beat the Ravens, beat the Bengals consistently, because that's what you have to do in this year, last year, and 2 years from now when your developmental guys are now primetime players for your organization. You need to win in your division. So that's what they're trying to build. And with him, they felt that he wasn't ready. And I think in some cases, the other issue is, and just as this is, I don't think the hamstring was there yet either. So his ability to perform at the level that he needs to play to succeed at the wide receiver position after all the position change and his development, you want Terrell Pryor running at 100%, running at full speed, because that's what makes him great, and he was not there.
Yes. Yes, you're right, and you're right. You needed to see it, and listen, they decided there was something enough there. I think that's what people have a problem with. How did you decide there was enough there to keep him on your 53 and to cut Vince Maley, who you drafted in the fourth round,
right,
only to release him 4 days later for Robert Turbin, who, listen, Robert Turbin is a very solid pro, but I don't think people look at Robert Turbin that way. It'll be interesting to see today if another team in the National Football League at 4 p.m. claims Terrell Pryor to their 53-man roster.
And what role he plays for that team.
Right. Well, he's not going to be a quarterback. I mean, so.
Correct. But I meant what role? Is he a guy that's going to be their fifth wide receiver and go literally waiver wire to fifth wide receiver active on game day? Or is he a guy that's going to be the 53rd guy on their roster as he, in some cases, was here in Cleveland?
We certainly will find out. We're going to take a break when we come back. More phone calls. Call your shot. It's the Browns and the Jets this Sunday at MetLife Stadium, week one of the NFL season. And I also want to talk to you, Matt, about your biggest takeaway, because I had a couple takeaways last night from the game, the Steelers and the Patriots. I wanted to get your thoughts on those as well. We'll come back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.